Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington. We've got some amazing things to share with you today. One of the things that we've had, I'm not going to go too far into it before I bring on the guests, we've had some just incredible UFO activity up here, and we have a bunch of young men out there camping, and they've brought every kind of equipment you can think of. They've brought all kinds of night vision gear, spotting scopes, binoculars with night vision, and just about everything you can imagine they've pulled out of the box here. And we had some just quite a show was put on for them. We had a massive ship come over, and the mountain lit up, and we had dancing lights all over the mountain, just, you know, brilliant lights, and it was all pretty much on record now. We've got it on film, and unfortunately we couldn't hook up the cameras to the night shot equipment, but they've got everything you can imagine to see the objects here and to have a really good view of them. The only problem is they don't have the ability to record what we're seeing through that gear, so we're working on that. But anyway, it's all coming together up here. I want to introduce Hope and Randy Mead. Hope and Randy have been a part of the ranch here for quite some time. They've helped us host events here, and they've taken some incredible photographs here of orbs, and not just here but around the country, and they've got an orb video out. The veil is lifting, and there's all kinds of projects they're working on. So before I go too much further in it, Hope and Randy, are you with us?
Yeah.
Yes, here.
All right. Great to have you on the show.
Good to be here, James.
Great. Thank you for having us, James.
Now, what are the projects you're working on now? I know you're working on another redoing the orbs, the veil is lifting video.
Yes, exactly. We were very excited to have participated in the Prophets Conference, the first orb conference ever in Sedona in the early May, and showed the film, and that was wonderful, and it was received very well. And from that, we are now redoing the film. And so many more people are interested in orbs. When we first made the film 5 years ago, it was like we had to talk people into it almost. And now, of course, everybody is, you know, there's so many people all over the world that are aware of the phenomenon.
Now, what, for you, what are orbs? Either Hope or Randy, either one want to, what's been your experience with these entities, you might say?
Well, it's so interesting. I was just talking to someone today about it. It's like, here it is. We've been exploring that phenomenon for over 5 years now, and, you know, I still am very hesitant to say what they are absolutely, but I know they relate to consciousness, that they are attracted to consciousness. That, you know, it's very clear that they have volition and intelligence. We have some pictures of energy sculptures that I make, and the plasma mist and orbs are coming in exactly mimicking the geometries of the sculpture. And it's been a number of things where just indisputably an interactive thing going on. When you go on the internet, you know, people will state definitively that it's a whole host of things. And you know, it's sort of like this, what I have with my own inner voices. You have, everyone has rich inner voices, and then the labeling of it becomes very tricky.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so
for,
I hesitate
for people
to label it. It's, go ahead.
Oh, I was saying, for people that don't know what we're talking about, people are going, orbs, what are those? Maybe you could describe further what you've been filming and give a little more detail on how they've been filmed and where.
Right. Well, I'd love to just give a little of the background, James, because we're with you, and it was at your place where you first discovered them. At first, we came to your place, as you know, to play music at an event and wondered if there was, you know, we thought we were probably not the only life in the universe, but we had never really seen anything to prove otherwise. And when we were there for the event, that was, you know, we were certainly shown all kinds of things in the sky. But aside from what we were seeing, we also discovered the orb phenomenon. And from that, at first we thought they were only at your place because of the UFO activity. and then began to realize and explore that they're really everywhere. And from our experience, we know that they're attracted to higher vibrations, that they're attracted to music and love and joy, and then that's why people are getting them all the time when they're finding them suddenly at weddings and parties and churches. It's interesting now on the internet how many people are going to church and they're finding orbs at church. And there were a few interesting articles where, you know, some of the churches are wondering if they should put out the photographs with these balls of light, or maybe
angels or demons. Right. I'm not sure.
and part of the reason we made the film, the first one, and why we're remaking it and are very excited about getting the word out there in a bigger way, is to educate people about what's happening, because we believe that as the veil lifts, that we're seeing these things more and more, and that the people should greet them with love and not fear, and that it's really exciting that the veil is lifting, and that we are seeing more than what we've known as reality.
And now, if people don't know what they are, they're really wondering. Most people think of it as a phenomenon that appears on photographs, film, or digital photographs, and it's orbs of light that most people don't see with their naked eyes that appear in the photographs. What we're beginning to realize, what's happening to us more and more, is a lot of times we're seeing more with our eyes than even appears on the photograph. A lot of times the flash makes them highly visible just for a moment to the naked eye. And we met more and more people at the conference. Michal Ledwith, who has trained himself to see them and insists that anyone can train themselves to see them with the naked eye. So we're, you know, for a number of years it was sort of viewed as a photo. There was a debate about, you know, the validity. Was it some photographic anomaly or dust in the air and all of these things that can easily be dismissed. But of course, the final proof is when you start seeing these things with your own eyes or sensing their energy and then actually seeing them in the air, quite aside from the camera.
Yeah, we have some pictures here where I'm actually pointing at columns of orbs, and you can see me pointing right at it, and they'll take the photograph, and right at the end of where I'm pointing is this big column of orbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I see them here all the time, and I tell people where to shoot, and they get the photos. You know, it's interesting.
Right, and you're attuned to them after all this time, so you really see where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sense the energy, James, or do you really see them physically in the light?
I can actually see them. It's interesting. I'll see them flashing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually see the orb exactly, but I'll see a distortion, and I'll barely see them, and then some of them start flashing at me. And, you know, other people won't see it, and I'll see them flashing. Mm-hmm. I'll see they're right there, and I see them out of the side of my eye. If I look straight at them, they go away.
Uh-huh. Yeah, in the peripheral vision, I tend to see them, too.
Yeah, and your eyes are set up that way. Actually, the cones in your eyes are set up to, if you look straight ahead, that's for this reality, this world. But the side vision actually allows you to see into other dimensions. And, you know, that's pretty well documented. That's why people see these shadow peoples and they turn and look and they're gone, you know. Because if you train yourself not to stare straight at them and just to soft focus and look and just look off a little bit, not directly at them, but look off to the side, you can see them much easier.
Yeah.
Well, it's been really exciting, and over this period of time that we've been photographing them, they are coming in more and more. And aside from the balls of light, there are other light anomalies that are coming that are just amazing, the way they're showing up and the way they relate to different kinds of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Randy, being a musician, we've done a lot of experiments with music and seeing how they just come. They're so attracted to music. That's
I know she also had the, you're playing around with some other things like the Wands of Horus and some of the other energies that seem to attract them.
Right. Randy, why don't you talk about your experience?
Yeah, there's pictures on our site, toolsfortranscendence.com, and I think it's on your site too.
Yes.
James, I have a little video clip on our site because there's like a series of pictures 3 seconds apart. And I was holding the Wands of Horus, which were developed by Dr. Valery Yuvarov, or rediscovered by Valery Yuvarov. And so I had a really profound experience of moving, of energy moving, you know, through my system, and some sort of very large benevolent aspect of consciousness that was interacting with me. Hope took this series of photographs, and the classic one is this column of light that's just coming out of my crown chakra. And
it's a vortex, really. It's a triangle.
Really a vortex, yeah, a triangular vortex of light.
Mm-hmm.
And the pictures around it, it's clear that it was sort of ebbing and flowing and throbbing around me, which is exactly what it felt like. Val, when we wrote to Dr. Yuvarov, he said, oh, well, now you can call yourself Ra, because that means you have a column of light coming out of your pineal gland. But somehow Ra Randy just sounds like you're stuttering, so I thought I'd pass on that.
You might have to change your name or something. Get some kind of Egyptian name to go behind it or something.
Yeah, no, I've just never been there.
Yeah, I'm pretty simple
myself. I like
myself.
My name.
The one thing I've noticed about the orbs, now there's a lot of controversy. I've heard unbelievable nonsense about it, but like you're saying, the dust, you know, it's just dust, or it's pollen in the air, or it's something. But, you know, we take these pictures, and it's rain, that's the other one, you know, the rain or it smudges on the camera lens. But we take before and after pictures, there's nothing there. And when you engage the consciousness and you
do a
meditation
right
or something, they're everywhere. And also, too, we take them indoors. We get photographs indoors. We get I took some down in the basement just recently. We got some incredible ones in
the
basement.
Yeah, and you said you do, too. We have some that are taken in the day, no flash.
Yeah.
And
pictures so it's
of orbs
not
behind
the
behind objects where it's clearly, you know, and not to mention when you see it with your eye, and it's even this,
oh, yeah.
You can see right where it is.
Well, we have one with a branch, and you can see the orb going behind the branch. The branch is casting a shadow on it, and it is definitely, you know, 50 feet plus away from the camera, which totally eliminates a dust particle because the thing has to be a foot, you know, about 12
That's
inches.
Right.
Why?
That's right.
But all of the debunkers, it makes no sense what they're coming up with, because when you look at the facts and the way the photographs are taken and that there's nothing there.
You know, one debunking theory can work for a series of photographs, but then you see you have to disregard a whole other body of photographs for that theory to work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I've had people just make blanket statements like that, and I said, well, obviously you haven't investigated the orb phenomenon, and when you have, then get back to me, because what you're
right.
saying makes no sense at all.
Right, you're right, exactly. And the consciousness, playing with understanding that they have consciousness, has been, to me, has been the most fun thing, because then it's really an interdimensional communication.
Mm-hmm.
And at Jay-Z Knight's group in Yelm, they've been doing just some amazing work. She also spoke at the conference in Sedona and shared some photographs where people had cards, and they would put a symbol on a card or number or a design, and then they would hold that in their mind. And then
put it in their breast pocket, like.
Right.
Out.
And they'd go out, and then they would photograph, and the orbs would have the image that they had put on the card in the orb. So
mm-hmm.
that came up time and time again, and we actually saw the photographs. It's really true. And then she showed somewhere on her birthday, all of these orbs were all around her with R's in them for Ramtha. It was great. It was great.
That's interesting. I haven't heard that one. That's a...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and then her other beautiful photograph, they had a couple that was getting married, and the woman was already pregnant, and then there was an orb just hovering right next to them, and it had the most distinct little Gerber baby face, and then they showed the picture of the actual baby that was born, 7 months later or whatever, and it was just the spitting image. Not only was it a baby face, it was clearly this baby's face. It was fascinating.
Yeah, it just seems that my understanding about orbs is that they're more than one thing. They're not just, you can't pigeonhole it into any one group, and they're they're just beings that are discarnate or don't have a physical body. And I've seen everything from bears, a bear face in the orb, mm-hmm. to like goat head type things, to beautiful feminine energy, like women in faces in the orbs, to beings that look like Merlin.
Yep.
The whole gamut. It's amazing.
I think it can also be us when we travel in our astral bodies. I mean, mm-hmm. we've discussed this with you, James, that the circle, the sphere of light is a vehicle that can, like you're saying, be inhabited by any number of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely the spiritually advanced ETs use those. And we see when the Palladians come, when they're around, they project from their body and they come down in a light sphere and they're beautiful. They have a nice, very defined orb that they travel in. It's a spiritual form of technology where they project themselves out and they check out a place and communicate and see what's going on. But the more you master your own spirituality, the more you learn how to move out of your body, and a lot of times it's done as a light sphere, as an orb.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's the most coherent form of the energy to hold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's like the most basic form.
Also, with,
know,
with
several times
with
okay. Well, several times I've had communication meditation, and they said, "We're here. You know, the ships are here." And I went outside, and there was nothing there. And I took a photograph, and I saw about six beautiful blue spheres of light of just pure energy. And then we also got a photograph of one of the ships that was actually stepping down in frequency, and it was halfway in between physicality and non-physical, mm-hmm. which was quite interesting.
Caught in the act, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's very exciting times that we're living in, and as we get closer to 2012 and the Earth's magnetics are shifting and the Schumann resonance is raising, we know what we were talking, that we need to raise our vibration. And the Wands of Horus that you were talking about earlier are a tool that was rediscovered, like Randy was saying, by Valery Uvarov, who is the head of Russia's UFOlogical Department, as well as their paleotechnologies. And he took a team of Russian scientists back to Egypt and redeciphered hieroglyphs to discover what the orbs, I mean, what the wands, sorry, were really made of, mm-hmm. and how they were constructed. The pharaohs used...
I'm going to grab a glass of water. I'm sorry, I don't mean to break in, but I'm going to be absent for 1 second.
The orbs, the wands were used by the pharaohs to raise their vibration before they would go into the pyramids and do their work, and the hierophants. And mm-hmm. Valery has let us know that they're a tool to be used now to keep us in balance with the Earth. Because as the Earth goes through her changes and changes her vibration, that it's very important for us as holographic images of the Earth to stay in the same frequency of the Earth, with the Earth, and change along with her. And we really believe that ultimately it's done through love, that by letting more and more love into our sphere of existence, into our hearts, into our bodies and our minds, that we can stay in better in touch and balance with the Earth.
Mm-hmm. I have a quick little story that will totally back that up. But at the Heart of the Heart conference, you know, when we had that conference, we had, I won't really mention any names, but we had one speaker there that was very kind of egotistical and was kind of putting down everybody else's talk. It was kind of amazing. And so we were trying to capture the orbs out there, and he goes, "You want orbs? I'll show you orbs." And he starts walking out in the field screaming, you know, going, "Hey, hey, hey," and all this Native American stuff. And before he did that, the whole field was full of orbs. It was wall-to-wall orbs. And one of the photographs was taken where I was sitting out there, and I disappeared because the orbs were so thick that you couldn't even see me anymore. I just vanished. And he came and did his thing, and all the orbs left. I mean, he totally cleared the field out. And because he wasn't coming from the heart, he was coming from, you know, the ego. And
yeah.
And we took a bunch of pictures, and nothing happened. There was no orbs. They were, like, gone.
Yes.
And then another guy who was just married, I'll mention his name, is Guy Reddell. He went out with his kids and his wife, and I said, you know, walk out in the field and just hold each other in your arms and just feel the love you have for each other and your children, and they did, and all of a sudden the orbs all came right back.
Uh-huh.
You know, so they're very attracted to love, and I know they're very attracted to children and feminine energy, and the more you can get into joy and love and send that frequency out, the more they seem to hang out with you.
Absolutely.
And there really is. The orbs are playing with orbs and an inexpensive digital camera, aside from getting some amazing photographs, it's another tool. It's a great way to just kind of tune yourself to subtler vibrations and start to really integrate you know, your feelings and sense of the spirit world with what you know, capturing in a camera, seeing with your eyes.
Also,
I think it's important for people to realize there's more than just this physical reality, that there's other dimensions, you know, that are right alongside of us.
And as long as we're wrapped in our ego, like you were saying, James, we can't really go to that place, because by being into the ego, you separate yourself not only from those humans around you and other beings on the earth plane around you, but you also don't allow other planes into your existence,
mm-hmm.
into your sphere, sort of.
And when people come at me with that, they said, this is all bullshit and this is nonsense, you know, and I said, you're right. And they go, what do you mean you're right? And I said, well, that's your reality, that's your consciousness, that's your belief, and that's what you're experiencing. And you're right, you know, for you. But you're not right for me and all the other people that are experiencing this.
Right. That's right.
And I said, I'm not gonna argue with you. I said, you can rise to the occasion and have this experience, but you know, if you want to remain in your present state of awareness, that's fine with me too.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, that's where Randy and I are at. We're not here to talk anybody into anything. You know,
mm-hmm.
we know what we've experienced is truth, because we've re-experienced it and re-experienced it and re-experienced it, and that's our truth. And we don't, like you're saying, we don't have to talk anybody into anything. And people,
mm-hmm.
you know, we invite them to go out and play and experience for themselves. Along those lines also, for anyone listening who hasn't taken orb photographs and is interested in doing it, just some tips about orbs that we've discovered. It's really great when you're first doing it to go to a place where there's already been a lot of energy, whether it's a sacred site or a church, a temple or a mosque, a party or some, you know, some place.
Some beautiful place in nature.
Beautiful place in nature, right? And to go there and to be ready to take a lot of photographs. Also, we suggest that you take loved ones along, and so that you're not just shooting off into the dark. But if you have someone else there, and invite those people to either bring simple instruments or sing. You don't have to ohm or be serious. You know, row, row, row your boat works really well. And just to raise vibration and let the joy run through. And then photograph and photograph and photograph. If you're going out, don't take 5 or 10 photographs and not get anything and then think, oh, well, there aren't any orbs here.
This is why digital cameras are so good.
Yes. When we first came back from James, from your place, and wondered if the orbs existed anywhere else, we were photographing around the woods where we live, and we took like 70 shots, and the 71st one, there was one orb, and we were like, okay, they do, you know, they're
they
not
are
just
here.
James's. They are here, you know. And so we really... really recommend that to people. Don't, you know, keep going. And Michal Ledwith, as Randy was saying, has been doing a lot of work with orbs, and he goes to the same place every day, and this is what he recommends, just going to the same place every day at the same time, and take, he was saying, maybe 200 shots even, and just keep doing it and doing it. And when you go there, you're inviting them in. You're inviting them
mm-hmm.
into you and into your space, and it really does work.
Yeah, and there's this very interesting point that came up several times at the conference, that our eyes are more than capable of seeing these frequencies, but because it's not part of our, you know, doesn't pay the rent or whatever Michal said, you know, that our brains filter this stuff out. We're more concerned with the physical, everyday thing, don't stub your toe, and, you know, you have to duck a branch or something, but...
Mm-hmm.
so our brains have been, we've sort of trained our brains just to filter this stuff out. And then as you go with the intention of working with them, after a while your brain starts to get the message and starts to open up the filters.
Yeah, it's amazing how much your brain, how much data is coming through your eyes and going into your brain, and then how much is actually accepted. The ratio is just phenomenal when people see that their belief system filters out all of this, these other experiences, and it's not part of their reality because they've chosen it not to be.
Right. It's like the story that was told about the Native Americans, and the ships came mm-hmm. with the big sails, and they couldn't see them, even though they were right there, because they had never seen them until the shaman came, and the shaman saw them, and then everyone could see them. And
yeah.
that's kind of the same parallel with the story with this.
Yeah, did you ever hear the experiment with the cats that they did? It was they raised all these kittens in a room, and they had horizontal bars. And then they raised another group of kittens that all they had was vertical bars in the room. And they would run and play, and they would, you know, weave in and out of the bars, and they had no problems at all, you know, nothing. And then they changed rooms with them, and they kept slamming into the bars because they couldn't even see them. They couldn't relate to the... You know, the cats in the horizontal room couldn't relate to the vertical bars, and the cats in the vertical room couldn't relate to the horizontal bars, and they were just crashing into them over and over again until they figured it out.
Wow.
Well, years ago, there was a brain experiment where they put somebody wore, the experimental subjects wore glasses that made everything go upside down, and they actually had them keep them on for weeks and weeks, and it was just about the point where the person was about to go completely insane. Something kicked in, and their brain flipped, and they were seeing everything right side up.
Yeah.
And then when they took the glasses off, they were seeing everything upside down. I would not have wanted to be that test subject.
Yeah, what if it didn't flip back again? You know, you'd be stuck. But it's amazing when people don't understand the neural net and how it's set up and how it's programmed and how you can reprogram it to see and experience different realities. And Bruce Lipton's work is amazing, where we're just basically perception-driven vehicles. It's our cells are picking up information by the antenna on the outer wall that is actually creating our tomorrow. It's not the other way around, where the DNA isn't really creating the body. It's our perceptions, the outer world, that's actually making changes.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about that, and you go, well, wait a minute, you know, like, the genome experiment, I think they found something like 30,000 genes, and there were supposed to be like 100,000+ genes. So that proved, too, that there is some kind of outer force surrounding us that's running this body, that's keeping things going. So, you know, we can't touch it, we can't feel it, but we know it's there. You know,
right, it seemed like the conclusion was that the DNA had to be more of an antenna rather than actually containing all the information.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a replicator, but to make changes, that has to come from somewhere else. You know, it has to come from another intelligence that actually creates the changes within the body. But, you know, just all the science right now is proving, especially with this new, you know, you get these new infrared. I'm hoping to get this real soon, but there's a guy, I can't really talk too much about it, but he has one of those Fluor cameras. Have you heard of those?
No.
They use them for drug smugglers and things like that. They put them on the jets and the planes, and they can see, you know, at night just as clear as daytime, and they're incredible, and they have infrared. They pick up, you know, an incredible amount of the light spectrum, much, much more than a regular camera. And now they're picking up all these UFOs and everything that people that are flying right around people every day, and people don't even know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're filming airports, and these things are following jets in and skipping around and giant triangle ships and everything, and nobody's seeing these things, but these cameras are picking them up.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I'm going to be able to get some footage and maybe be able to borrow one for a little while.
Wow.
But
oh,
that'll
be
amazing. Yeah. But
yeah,
I mean,
especially
they've got,
there at the ranch, it's going to be quite spectacular,
yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, hopefully I can get this footage, you know, before the event, but we'll see what happens. But, I mean, this footage is a major airport here, one of the big ones, and they've got these things following jets in and taking off and following them down to the ground and taking off again and just all kinds of things going on.
Well, the people, the general public, better get ready because it could be quite shocking if people aren't prepared, you know, to make this shift, because it's absolutely real, you know, it's so tangible to us that it's an excitement, you know, it's funny to be an adult and think that you understand reality and that you know what's going on, and then suddenly something like this comes into our world, and it's like, wait a minute, you know, how does this figure into what I know is reality? And it really, for us, it made us just, it's like being children again, where you just have to acknowledge, you know, again, let go of the ego and thinking that you understand the way the world works to open up, to have to relearn or re-educate ourselves to what's really going on.
Oh, yeah. I find out a lot of people say that the more I open, you know, to this greater reality and, you know, it takes in all these other planes and dimensions and just what's in this dimension alone, the more, you know, we find out we don't know.
Right.
And, you know, and the people that are so full of themselves that already think they know it all, you know,
right.
It's sad because they really don't. The wisest of all beings say, you know, I know very little, you know, compared to what is out there to be known.
Absolutely. I wanted to mention Joan Ocean's work. Joan Ocean, for those of you who don't know, lives in Hawaii and swims with the dolphins, and she communicates with the dolphins telepathically and has been doing that for 20, 25 years now, and really has an amazing relationship with the dolphins. And in working with the dolphins and being out at night on ships with different groups, she's also had a lot of experience with UFOs and connecting with extraterrestrials, and she was also at the conference in Sedona and shared some amazing photographs of orbs under the water. And there's a photograph she has of a dolphin swimming into an orb of light, and the whole front half of the dolphin has disappeared as it swims into this orb. And then she also talked about and showed images where this didn't used to happen, because she's been doing this, you know, for so many years. She's really seen the change. There are these giant balls of light that are maybe, I don't know, 25, 50 feet across, and you can't see in them. There's like, they're solid, luminous, and she'll see the dolphins, or the groups of people will see the dolphins swim into these orbs of light and just disappear. And she herself and others with her have swum into these orbs of light, and when you get in them, you don't see out of them. You're just engulfed in this golden light.
And a great sense of well-being, she said, goes along with it.
So, yeah. So that was just amazing to see, you know, to see it also how it exists underwater and to see the dolphins relating to these balls of light.
What happened on the other side when they came in? Did they have to come back out the same way they went into the ball of light, or...?
I don't think so. It wasn't like a portal where it was important to come in or out the same way. Though, in terms of that, Michal Ledwith was saying that in his discussion with Rompf, that Michal has been getting vortexes as he photographs. There are images that he has with absolute vortexes of orbs creating a vortex next to him. And Rompf has told him that if you enter one of them, that you have to make sure that you come out the same way exactly that you entered it, or you could end up in another time than the one that you went into it in.
And it's true, there's some very strange pictures around them where there appears to be a double exposure, but it's not. He appears to be in two places, or he appears to be transparent.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. He does presentations. Actually, he's going to be here at the conference at the Science Spirit and World Transformation Conference doing a presentation, and last year he was here and he showed those July 6th through 8th, but hopefully he'll show that one again. But the one I saw where he just, you can see right through him, and I think
right, you see the fence right through him. It's like, wait a minute.
I go, wait a minute. You know what's strange? That's been happening up here, too, as well, because the mound, you probably know where that little mound is to the left of the house when you're facing the mountain. But I've been meditating up there quite a bit, and I come down, and we have visitors that are sky watching, and they're looking right at me, and I walk right up to them, and they don't see me. And and then I say something to them, and it scares the crap out of them, you know. And they go, "Where'd you come from?" I go, "I was right here. I walked right up. You're looking right at me." They go, "No, you just like we're here. You didn't, you know." And it happened in a restaurant to a woman once. I really scared the crap out of this woman. And, you know, I really don't know anything's different. It doesn't seem any
different.
Doesn't
feel that different to you. You're maybe in a nice energy state, but.
Yeah, I must
different.
Be just a little bit out of phase or something. I don't know, every once in a while. But it's pretty funny watching the you know, the reaction of some people when.
Well, it's a trick if you can get a handle on it there. That's great.
It seems like it is as though you'd be going in and out of the third dimension. I mean, that's why I think...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's why I think that the orbs are seen so much around crop circles and these sacred places that have created sort of portals where the third dimension is more open. I mean, it's there's more than just the third dimension going on. And certainly at the ranch, that would be the case. And since you live there, you know, just you probably have just the energy field around you, too, so that when you travel or go somewhere, you're able to project outside of just the third dimension.
Yeah, I've got one of the photographs on our site has where I'm talking to Standing Elk, or I think he goes by, I think Red Spotted Horse or something like that. I'm not sure what his new name is, but he took on his father's name and when he became chief. But it's kind of interesting. You can see this big gold, it's like a white orb. It's halfway in and halfway out of my heart coming out. And we were having a real heart-to-heart talk with him at the time. It was pretty interesting. And then I got some photographs of him when he was drumming. And, it was amazing. There was all of these kind of reddish and green streaks of energy and looked like a rainbow around him. It was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
One
of our pictures that we really love was also taken with you in it, James, and the one with the fairy. The story.
Oh, yeah.
James was in the field with two other people, and I was photographing him. There wasn't very much going on, and James said, "I feel something really high up." So I photographed way up and just caught their heads on the bottom, and up at the top there was just this little kind of starburst thing, and then Randy and James went in and blew it up on the computer, and we looked, and it looks just like a fairy. You can see wings. There's even like a little wand in the hand and sparkle dust around it. It was really beautiful.
Really, really beautiful. We just got another. That's much more rare than finding an orb, but we just got another sort of winged-looking thing the other night. That was very interesting.
Nice. Yeah, that's when you know, people go, "Now you're going off the deep end, you know, now you're photographing fairies."
Yeah.
I know.
You know, but people don't realize that there are whole civilizations living right alongside of us. They're just outside of our frequency, that we can't see them. But, you know, as the veils lift and the vibrations raise on the planet, we're going to start having these experiences.
Yep, more and more.
Yeah, my nephews did that. I when they were kids, when they're little kids, I was out gardening. We're doing that Finhorn gardening where we're working with the nature spirits. And you know, at the time, I wasn't really seeing them. I could feel a presence. I knew something was helping me. And we grew incredible vegetables, huge vegetables, and they were good too. They were very vibrant, and you know, a lot of water. And a lot of vegetables start getting woody after they get too big, but these weren't. And it was pretty amazing. To my little nephews, when they were kids, they were seeing these little elf beings. And when I went into meditation, I saw two of these beings that were helping me in the garden. In the meditation, I didn't say anything. I didn't say a word. And they said, "There's these little guys around you, you know, running around helping you." And I said, "Really?" And I go, "What do they look like?" And they gave an exact description of them. down to the color of the clothes they're wearing, the outfits and everything. It was exactly what I saw in a meditation.
Uh-huh.
You know, so they're...
Yeah,
you know,
when several people start seeing the same thing, then, you know, either everybody's having a mass hallucination together or there's really
yeah.
something going on.
You know, these kids have no agenda. I mean, they're just little
yeah,
kids.
They have no...
They were shocked by it when they saw it. They were going, what is this? What is this? And
yeah,
it also validated my own experience, too, as well, because, you know, it's kind of ambiguous when you have these visions or flashes and you see beings and things, and you go, okay, well, whatever, you know. And,
yeah, the
and
mind casts off all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to be validated, you know, to the social consciousness or the mainstream consciousness. People, you know, hearing this radio show right now would go, these guys are Looney Tunes. You know, but,
well, I think
you know,
anybody who's listening to this show
might be
and listening to you must be sort of an open-minded person, or they wouldn't
yeah.
be listening to the show.
Exactly, you know, but, you know, I would invite them to do their own experiment, you know, like you were talking about. Get a
Absolutely.
Really nice digital camera, go out in nature, find a really nice, quiet place, and go to places where the energy is really high, where people are in love and joy or bliss or musical events, and start photographing and invite the orbs to come in, you know, as you're
Absolutely.
Photographing and see what happens.
A lot of times it's also, when you say a nice digital camera, a lot of times it's the cheaper ones, actually, that get most of the orbs. Randy, why don't you talk about why they think that is?
Yeah, do you know why that is? Or?
Well, it's my understanding, anyway, that it has to do with the range of the range of the infrared fields that are showing up on the cheaper cameras that... Randy, right, I was saying about the range of the infrared, why the cheaper cameras seem to get more of the orbs.
There's like an infrared filtering that's put on some of the more expensive cameras. Night shot often works well, and some early cameras have night shot that you can run during the day.
Mm-hmm.
That works quite well, too.
Yeah, I've got an old Sony, and it has Night Shot 1 and 2. And
uh-huh.
when I click that thing on 2 and run it out there, it's amazing. I see all kinds of the orbs singing all over the place. I get rods, a lot of rods in the footage. But, you know, that field is just full of all kinds of interdimensional life, you might say. It's amazing.
That's exactly what it is, interdimensional life. At first, I was kind of weirded out by it, really, because it was like even after I accepted the reality of it, because I couldn't help it, but accept it, because it was there. And I've been doing photography professionally for years and years, so suddenly to get these things on the camera that I wasn't seeing with my eye, I just had to accept it. But then, because I think of myself as a rational, well-educated, you know, college-studied person, it was like, well, what do you do with this information? And went through a period of time of just trying to accept how that shifts one's worldview. And I'm sure that as the UFOs become really acknowledged on this planet by the mainstream, excuse me, we will have a lot of people having to deal with changing their worldview. And what does that do? What does that do to religion? And what does that do to you know, where do we come from questions, and where are we going, and
oh,
you know,
yeah.
what's it about?
You know, I don't know what the skeptics are going to do anymore, because I know England, the UK, just released their file. I think there's something like 7,000 files on UFO experiences, everything from, you know, abductions to benevolent ones to military encounters, you name it. And then, you know, France is releasing theirs, and Brazil and Mexico and South America now. So it seems all the other countries, you know, all over Europe and South America have all released their files and saying, look, this is real. This is a real-time event. And the evidence is overwhelming. And we still have SETI up out there saying, oh no, it hasn't showed up on our radioscope
right.
yet. So it's not real, and our own government is still saying, oh, no, that's all bunk, you know, you people are crazy, you know. And we're talking about defense ministers coming forward, you know, and generals and,
right.
and
well,
you know, it's amazing.
And there's scientific experiments that are demonstrating that, you know, other dimensions need to exist to explain some of the results that are being got, non-local effects and, you know, intention-controlling experiments, and there's incredible scientific work that's out there being done really rigorously in the spirit of science, and like William Tiller and some of his colleagues, you know, the reason people are able to maintain their old views is because they, like, refuse to look at the evidence, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
they've probably written books.
Quantum physics is not a new thing, but we just had chose to kind of ignore it, that, you know, that's just too confusing. So we'll stay with the old physics that work, you know, that appears to work in the general reality that we're in, but really we, you know, scientifically and mathematically proven otherwise, but you know, choose just not to deal with it.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, they're down. They know there's at least 11 more dimensions out there, and I really believe it's infinite. You know, and I think, I don't know what the latest tally is. I think it was something like 500 billion suns in our own little Milky Way galaxy with planets revolving around them, and then the galaxies just go on and on and on forever. You know, they're up to, I don't know how many billion galaxies are out there. And you just do the math, and that's not even adding the other dimensions in. And you
right,
think about that. It's like, what would be the point of us being it? You know,
right.
It just makes no sense at all whatsoever.
No. And again, it's just an egotistical perspective as a culture and as a planet for people to think like that.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
some of these galaxies are so much older than we are. You know, we're, you know, supposedly the Earth, well, they're saying it's 4.5 billion years old, but, you know, they're not taking into account the time the Earth was totally covered in cloud cover where the sun wasn't hitting the Earth, so... And they carbon date things, it's off, but it's actually 7.5 billion years old. But, you know, no scientist will actually agree with that because, you know, they're using the old techniques of carbon dating and things of that nature. But it's a short, short little blip when you look at the eternal creation out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Chris. Proven astronomically we are not the center of the universe, but in our minds we still are, right?
Exactly. Can you give out the website and how people can get this? Now, you still have the DVD, Orbs, the Veil is Lifting. That's still available for people to purchase?
Actually, the company that Beyond Words Publishing is going to be distributing the new video or the new DVD.
Mm-hmm. And it's really, we're basically keeping the name and some of our greatest photographs and really reworking it extensively with interviews in high definition that we're going to film in high definition and really just try to, you know, do a much more complete look at it. So after working out our deal with them, we've actually taken our website as Tools for Transcendence, but if somebody wanted to email us, contact us through that site, we could make an arrangement to sell the old video, but we're basically pulling them out of distribution just redoing this and getting ready. It should be out in October, actually, in its new version, and we're interviewing you, James, and Michal Ledwith, and Klaus Heinemann, J.C. Knight, Joan Ocean, bunch of the people have had massive experience with it, so we're going to get people's best photographs and their best thoughts and put this all together. So for right now, we're not really plugging the old video.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we'll just put it on file for the new release.
That's right.
That's pretty
stay
fast.
Tuned.
That's right. But definitely, people, are, you know, please go to the website, toolsfortranscendence.com, and you'll see some of the images of orbs, the fairies on there, and the one with Randy, and the vortex pranic tube coming out of his head, and some pictures of James. And so, for now, that's where.
That's still interesting. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to, put the word out when the new one comes out. We'll help you, put that out over the list and let everybody know when it's available.
So that would be great.
That would be great, yeah.
Also, we just would like to say that we're excited, James, to see that we're all going to be together in Palm Springs in October at the Prophets Conference, and that'll be great to be sharing with you and with the people there.
Yeah, that looks to be a very interesting conference.
Yeah, I actually raised not too far from there, believe it or not, in Apple Valley, which is very close to, he's the old timer in ufology. I'm trying to think. He had the Integratron there. What was his name? I'm trying to remember his name. But I didn't really realize it, but when we were kids, we saw all kinds of UFO activity up there, but I didn't realize William something. Well, I'll think of it later. But anyway, he's amazing. We were having all this contact and all these things happening around us as kids, and we didn't even know about it.
Uh-huh.
We just took it for granted.
Yeah, you don't think anything of it. It's just normal. It's like Jay-Z Knight said she was raised with the field workers, and she always saw orbs and stuff with her naked eyes, but the old black field hands that she was around were just like, well, honey, that's the will of the wisp. They had a place for it in their perception and culture. And so she didn't realize, took her years to realize that other people did not see these things.
Yeah. Somebody told me that unfortunately, a lot of the U.S., there's an absence of culture, where a lot of the older cultures recognize all these things. But in the U.S., we've become so materialistic and closed-minded and kind of controlled, basically, as to what we should believe and not believe, that we've lost a lot of that culture, you might say.
Right. A lot of that folk wisdom really was a deeper understanding, and we sort of dismiss it as old wives' tales and fairy tales and myths and legends, but some of it really represents a deeper sense of maybe how things really work.
Also, it's free. This kind of entertainment is free, and that can't be in a consumer culture. When we were talking about going out with people taking orb pictures, I call it an orb hunt, and it's an actual thing to do with people. So it's not just even being at an event and taking photographs and looking for orbs, but, that's fine too. But the idea of deciding you're going to spend your time with friends or loved ones and go out and look for orbs together, go on an orb hunt, it's actually something to do. It's entertainment in and of itself. It's really
exactly.
Fun that way.
Good, clean, high vibrational fun. Well, we're running up to the end of the hour here. Is there any closing words you want to say? Because we're going to be signing off.
Really soon?
Oh, just that, thank you for having us on, and we're very excited to be sharing the experience of orbs with people. Please go out and have the experience for yourself.
Yeah, I would just encourage everybody to explore it for yourself. Get a hold of a cheap digital camera and open your mind and, have fun with it.
And look for the video soon, the DVD soon to
That's
DVDs,
right.
Well, I guess in September.
In October,
mid-October.
Oh, October.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thanks a lot for being on the show. We'll have you on again soon, especially when you're getting ready to release this DVD.
Great.
And,
great. Thanks.
All right. Take care. And this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.